Hi, Hazel.
Hey, Amanda. How are you doing?
I am fucking fantabulous.
It's been a while since I spoke to you. It's funny because as friends, it's like the last time I really spoke to you in great depth was also on your podcast.
Well, you've been busy too. You were back in the UK for the holidays.
I was, yes.
You do have a rambunctious child.
So, yes, I had a spate with employment as well. So
that thing, a J-O-B, we would know nothing about that.
I know, not recommended. So kind of nice to like dive back into your mind and what's happening in your life. And then obviously last time I talked to you, you were in San Diego and you were packing up all your belongings and selling stuff off and having yard sales. So first of all, tell me about the journey and like get into Austin.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, I am in Austin, Texas. The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. Yes, I am in Austin. So you were correct. I packed everything up. I stayed with one of my besties, Nicole, on the 31st. She and I didn't even go out because we had, like, she is my foodie bestie and my bestie in San Diego and just all around one of my besties. And in the run-up to my departure, we had like lit San Diego on fire. And so we were like going out, enjoying ourselves, going to nightclubs, eating, drinking. And so on the 31st, we were like, New Year's Eve is for amateurs. And so we stayed in and split only one bottle of bubbles and got food in. And then the next morning, I got up fairly early, went to pick up my rental car and hit the road. And I felt so bad, like, driving away from her. She's like, you can't leave me. And so Bernie and I, my dog, we went from San Diego to Scottsdale. So I got to see a good friend of mine from high school, Tia, who, bless her, just recovered from breast cancer. So it was good to see her. I spent two nights at her house in Scottsdale, which is the cutest, most gorgeous house in the most beautiful backyard. And really got to spend some quality time with her, which I was happy about. And then Bernie and I hit the road for 9.5 hours on the 3rd, which we went from Scottsdale to Marfa, Texas. So it's like, for people who aren't American, everything you hear about American highways, like these wide roads, well, actually, I was on two-lane roads for a lot of it, but these roads with a lot of trucks and just a lot of driving straight. So we stopped in Marfa, and Marfa's really cool, but because I didn't get there, and it's the place that has the Prada store in the middle of nowhere that you see in film and in like, they use it for sets and things. And so I stopped and like took a quick photo of the Prada store and then had a really great meal there at a place called Margaret's that night. And literally everybody walking into the place in Marfa was like a model. I'm like, where are all these people coming from? They are all looking in the middle of this, like, it's like the Palm Springs of Texas or something. It's like in the middle of nowhere, they have these like very fancy like glamping tents, and then there's an art scene and a music scene and beautiful people. And then the drive from Marfa to Austin, I thought was going to be short, but it was like 7.5 hours. So over basically 3 days, Bernie and I did collectively almost 23 hours of driving. I say Bernie and I. Bernie did not do any driving. Oh, and then a major, I know that they're in New Zealand, they're training dogs to drive, but he is not one of those dogs yet. But anyway, I missed a major part of this. Day one, I had this SUV and literally everything was packed in there like sardines. Like I could barely see out the back window. And Bernie was in the front seat next to me. But day one, my car, my SUV was swerving so bad. It was pulling me so badly. It would sometimes just randomly veer into the left lane. So in Scottsdale, I switched the car out and I got a minivan. It's always been my dream to drive a minivan and be a soccer mom, but I got a minivan and I loved it. I was like, we could fit everything. Bernie could either sit in the front seat or he could sit behind me. And because even though I sold a lot of my shit, I still have like suitcases full of summer clothes because now it's winter in Austin. I had to bring winter clothes. And because I'm a total weirdo, I refused to sell my Le Creuset pots and pans because I've had them for, I don't know, 20 years. So I packed that shit up so I could have something to cook with. And I read with the Airbnb I'm staying at that like, oh, there's not a lot of cutlery and plates and stuff. So I brought my dishware and cutlery and a couple of knives. And that was heavy as shit to get into the car because those pots and pans are so heavy. But I didn't want to part with them because they're so seasoned and I love cooking with them. So anyway, we arrived in Austin at like, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock on Thursday, the 4th of January. So I've been here effectively 2 weeks and the Airbnb is perfect for us. There's a little patio for Bernie. There's a great table that I'm sitting at right now, which is a dining table that I'm using as my office. There's a little dog park outside that he can go to, and I'm in just a beautiful location and my energy has shifted entirely. And yeah, that's been my journey. And I just, some people are like, you are fucking crazy for selling everything and like starting this new journey and starting this new life. And it's like, no, I mean, everything about this feels so right now. And everything about the decisions I made, like there are no regrets about the decisions I've made up to this point.
Yeah. I mean, last time I saw you, obviously, was in San Diego, and it was kind of towards the end, you know, you're having problems with your ex, and even over the screen, I can tell you, like, your energy has just shifted so dramatically, and it's kind of previous version of you that we knew.
Yeah, I was in a funk when you saw me, right? I mean, I was not myself. I think, well, you know what I recognized, Hazel? And I texted when I got here, so on the 5th, so I got here Thursday night, I was like unpacking. Long story short, the fire alarm went off here this like at the 9. I was like, shit, is this a real fire? I've been in a real fire before and it petrifies me. I was in a fire in the south of France and we almost didn't make it out. And so anytime I hear a fire alarm, I take it very seriously. Oh, and then I was in a fire in Boston, right? In May.
Yeah.
But anyway, I take it very seriously. So like I just got out of the shower. I just dried my hair. And then I like threw on random things. I looked like I was homeless. I grabbed Bernie. I get out. This is on Thursday night. And I go up to this little place and I said, hey, like, fire alarm's off where I'm staying. I just got here. I know I look like a wreck. Do you allow dogs in here? Can I come and have a glass of wine and some food I haven't eaten? They're like, absolutely, come in. So nice. So, so nice. So I'm kind of starting to decompress on that first day I get here. And then on Friday morning, as I'm unpacking, I do like a little Target run to get some things because I need some things to like store things in. And they didn't have any hangers in this Airbnb. Why don't they have hangers? I don't know. But anyway, I get back and all of a sudden it like hits me like, and like then like a kind of decompression. I was like, holy shit, what have I just been through this past year?
Yeah.
Like, whoa. And I texted two of my girlfriends saying, I just recognized what a year I had. And one of them responded cheekily, like, you just now recognized it? And I said, yeah, because I was surviving, not thriving. And this past year was full of trauma. I mean, serious trauma. Like, yeah. And one of my other, I called one of my other girlfriends like the following, I don't know, day or something just to catch up with her. She lives in Baltimore. It was a couple of days later, I think. And just to have conversation. And I was saying, I just, all of a sudden I can breathe again for the first time. It was like, I was holding my breath, just waiting for like another tragedy to hit me in 2023. And now it's like, I can step into being fully me again. And not have to like look over my shoulder, worry about who's saying bullshit about me. It's just like a clean slate and I can breathe again for the first time.
Yeah. I think, yeah, being somewhere that's just different geographically, emotionally, mentally, it just shifts everything. I know that, you know, before you left San Diego, you were dealing with some issues with your ex and the restraining order. Like, did that just, what happened in the end?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, I can't really talk too much about him anymore because that's in our agreement and vice versa. But what had gone down is, I think I said on the last podcast, some harassment and stalking of my Greek lover. Like the effort it takes to find somebody on Instagram and know their name and know information about them is kind of insane, is a very insane. So yeah, I think his attorneys got a little nervous because of course, if you find out that there's a legal restraining order, and it was a temporary restraining order against that got granted, but ultimately we ended up signing an agreement. He has no rights to Bernie, no, and is never allowed to contact me ever again.
Do you think you said like you had this moment of decompression? Do you think that's going to continue? Do you think you're going to just realize more and more like how free you feel?
Yeah. There's something very freeing about letting go of like worldly possessions as well. And something very freeing about people not knowing who you are. I'll get into that though, because something strange happened to me on a date recently and I'll share that, but something
very
freeing.
I didn't try to hide my surprise.
Oh my God.
I mean,
stories I can tell.
But you were loving Austin.
Loving
it. Austin like to live in.
It's a very cool city. Like, it is a vibe. San Diego is beautiful and has beautiful people and beautiful scenery. There is no culture in San Diego. Like, none, zero, zip. You have a little bit from Mexico in terms of the food scene, but it doesn't have a pulse. There's not an energy to this city. It's like maybe like the first time you go to New York or something, like you feel this buzz. Or even for me, like the first time when I was in Athens, it was like, oh, there's like this energy to the city, like despite this grit and everything else, I just fell in love with it. And it's the same thing. Like, I got here and all of a sudden it was just like, people are beautiful. People are well-dressed. People are friendly. I have met more people in 10 days here in Austin than I met in 3 years in San Diego.
Wow.
No word of a lie. People are coming up to me at bars when I'm sitting. Like, sometimes I'll just bring Bernie and I'll just sit and have a glass of wine. People are coming up and introducing themselves to me, exchanging phone numbers. Like, it's great. There's something about this city. And I don't know, too, if there's, to me, sometimes it's not only the energy of the people. And obviously, there's a lot of businesses that have moved here. Tesla has a campus here. Rivian is opening up a little. Another car company is opening up a little place right up the road. Above me, above where I'm living is, or ish where I'm staying, is Soho House. And so I didn't know that. And so I happened to be sitting at this bar one night and all these people are coming down with their luggage. I'm like, where are these people coming from? And the bartender is like, oh, Soho House is above us. Also, as an aside, I have now met like one of the managers of Soho House. So he's given me a tour of it and bought me lunch there last Saturday and champagne and has asked me out on a date. So as one does. So that's cool because there's a bunch of people coming in and out of there. And then I mentioned to you, I was sitting at that same bar and a guy came down with his luggage from Soho House. I start talking to him. He's Matthew McConaughey's social media person. So I'm now friends in quotes with him. I have his number. And so just things like that, like people are doing things here. You can feel that a little bit of an urgency to it of people wanting to like create things and whether it's music or art or the technology scene here, but it's cool. And the food scene is fantastic.
Yeah. And the vibe kind of overspills in Austin. Like, it's just everywhere. Like, it's almost impossible to not find something to do or see or eat, basically.
Yeah. It's like right in your face everywhere you go. I also can't wait. So Nicole, whom I mentioned, is coming to visit me next week. We're recording this in January. So this is probably going to come out in February. So by the time this comes out, she would have already come and gone. She's coming to visit me next week. And I'm super excited, but you know, she's a New Yorker. So I was like, okay, we're going to go get cowboy boots. We're going to go two-stepping. She's like, what? Where are you taking me? I was like, there are real life cowboys here. I've seen multiple of them.
I bought a pair of cowboy boots on Valentine's Day in Austin and Elvis Costello bought a pair right ahead of me.
No.
Yeah. In Heritage boot.
Oh, okay.
So I bought a red pair and he bought a black snakeskin pair. Right. He's right in front of me buying them.
You're like, Mr. Costello. I mean, there's musicians and stuff here like happening all the time. And I'm sure like I'm bound to run into one at some point because of where I'm staying.
Yeah. Don't you think also the way you describe Austin, it's kind of got this like a pace, almost a restlessness to it. It's creative. I mean, how much does that match you as well?
Oh, a ton, right? What doesn't work for me, and I think we know this now, is being in a city that's like asleep, right? Like, and literally, like that goes one that goes to bed at 9 p.m. and gets up, and like San Diego is a very like laid back town. And I'm not saying that I'm not laid back, but I'm not laid back. Like,
I mean, you do live with a pace. You also live with intentionality. And I think that's perhaps something that you're definitely reconnecting with. Like,
yeah.
You know, what do you feel you're doing intentionally now in 2024? And what might people be surprised by?
So one of the things that I'm intentional about is building community here. So I'm on Bumble Date, but also Bumble BFF, which is a way to make friends. I have gone on three major girl dates. One of which was a group of like eight of us. Yeah, half of whom have children, half of whom don't. And that was last Saturday night. We had such a blast. We had so much fun. We ended up at a drag show. Then we ended up at a live music venue. It was so fun. So one of the things that I'm intentionally doing is reaching out to other women here to connect with them and and to build community and build friendships. And like, I have a girl date tomorrow morning. We're going to brunch. So I'm super stoked about that because I've not been one of those women who always has like a girl gang. Like, you see these women out, it's like the Sex and the City where there's four of them or eight of them. And I'm not one of those women. The female relationships I have are like pretty deep and I kind of like it that way. But here I'm like being intentional about, oh, I'm going to meet up with this person and they're into hiking. So maybe I can go on a hike with them or a coffee, or they're going to show me a new place. And so that's something that I'm being very intentional about. I think I've always been pretty intentional about saying no to things I don't want to do. And so I'm still being intentional about, no, that doesn't work for me. No, thank you. Nope. I've encountered that a couple of times the past couple of weeks. And then I'm dating again. And I'm having so much fun. And it's also ridiculous at the same time. Like, I have so many ridiculous stories already.
What's the dating scene like in Austin compared to somewhere like San Diego?
Well, they make plans. So that's a start. I mean, it's like, so I think I mentioned on one of my other podcasts, like I turned my Bumble on right before Christmas and switched it to Austin. And overnight, like within 48 hours, I had 2,000 plus likes. Like, I don't know if that's normal or not. I'm like, how am I going to wade through this? Like, this is crazy. So anyway, I started to have conversations with some of the guys before I got here. So I could like hit the ground running and have somebody tour guide. And they make plans. Like, it's like, okay, meet me at such and such place at such and such time. And we're going to do this. And I'm like, sweet. Because in San Diego, it's like, oh, do you want to hang out? Like, let's hang out. What the fuck does that mean, hang out? Like, are you going to take me out or are you not? And the other thing with those of them who are like Southern, there's huge chivalry. It is not dead. So one gentleman who I will just refer to, just in case he ever finds this podcast, I will refer to, I've not told him I have a podcast. So anyway, I will refer to him affectionately as Mr. Austin, because he's a fifth generation Austinite. Oh. He has like family on family run business. A lot of people know him in town. Like, he knows everyone. He knows everywhere to go. But he was like, I want to take you out. I'm like, okay, great. And he happened to be out of town. And then he came back in for a short period of time. And he's out of town again. But anyway, he's like, well, I know this isn't traditional, but I'm going to pick you up. And I was like, so I texted him. I was like, what chariot am I looking for, sir? So he's like,
wow.
He's like, I've got a white Range Rover. I'll be there exactly on time. I'm on my way. I'm 3 minutes out. And he does talk like that. And, you know, I used to think the Southern accent was not sexy and made people sound dumb. So I haven't totally changed my opinion on that. But he has a very thick Southern accent. And I'm like, oh, this is new. But anyway, you know, very chivalrous, open doors, wouldn't let me touch the car door, open the door for me, went around to the side of the car, do not touch that car door. Okay, sir. And just pulls my chair out for me, asked me, like, it was just like that date was, well, first of all, it was so much fun. He's a lot of fun and very well traveled, very well read. During pandemic, he sold everything, got an Airstream and traveled the country with his dog. And he's writing a book about it. I'm like, I love this. So on paper, there are things that would not match with me and him. Like, he's Southern. Like, he's shorter. Yeah, because, you know, like my bar was like 5'10" at least, or 11 and above. I'm not dating short people anymore. Done with that. But he's shorter. But he's so chivalrous and funny. And he calls me. He's been away. And he called me this week just to catch up and see how I'm doing. And he had said, he goes, I knew you'd be fun. I said, how'd you know that? And he said, well, I kind of figured out who you were. And so I looked you up on Facebook, and my Facebook is locked, so you can't see it. But one of my girlfriends had put, you know, how Barbie had like the thing that came out as like, I'm such and such Barbie. Somebody had posted on my Facebook page, me as Barbie, but it was the one that has like a martini in her hand and a cigarette in the other. And it was like, this isn't me, but this is Amanda Layden. This is who she is.
So, brilliant.
So he was like, I knew you'd be fun because I saw that. And I was like, damn it, my friends are ratting me out. So anyway, dating is just a different ball of wax here. Like, they make a plan and they do it and they're chivalrous. And all but one date has like paid for everything for me on the first date. And I don't know if you know my rule, but I don't go on second dates if they don't pay for me on the first one. So I don't go, because it's like, you can't even buy me a meal or a cocktail. Like, forget it. No. Oh, the other weird thing that I'm encountering, a lot of people don't drink. Two of my girl dates and couple of guys. Like, what is this, a trend right now? Are you California sober, meaning do you smoke weed? Or I don't know, but yeah, I'm encountering it a lot here.
Funny, when I was back in London, I've noticed in London a lot of people that I used to drink with. And this, and even bars like on draft now, you have non-alcoholic beer. Like, it's on draft, but you can't even tell because it's at the pub, like non-alcoholic cocktails. And it's not just like one weird or we'll make one up for you. It's like a whole list of non-alcoholic cocktails. Non-alcoholic wine brands are really big right now in Britain.
Yeah.
And so I did see that in Britain. It's kind of interesting.
There's definitely something to it right now. Well, people are on dry January anyway. But
I'm trying January.
I had talked about with my girlfriends before I left San Diego. I was like, you know, I'm going to try and do dry January. And one of them looked at me and she goes, you're going to start dating again. You're insane. No, you need to have cocktails when you're on dates. Like,
also, it's January. It's the worst time of year to give up anything fun.
Yeah, right? I mean, what else are you going to do? Like, what, just suck all the joy out of your life? I
mean, so there's Mr. Austin. How about pace of dates? Have dates been well spaced out? Have they been crammed in? Like,
so let's see. I got here on a Thursday. Between Friday and that Sunday, I had been on 4 dates.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 in one day. And
How does that work? Like, nearby locations, around the corner, different sides of the same bar?
Well, the thing is, Mr. Austin was the first one that day because he had just come back into town. I was like, I don't know how long I'm going to be in town for, but I'd like to see you. I said, oh, well, the thing is, I've got an 8 o'clock tonight. And so I met up with him at 4. We had a bite to eat, a couple cocktails. He took me around Austin. And then he's like, TikTok, huh? You got to go. And I said, yep, I got to go take my dog out real quick and change. And he's like, well, enjoy date number 2. And I go, you got it. I'm not going to lie about it.
No, which I love. I love that you have that honesty of like, this is who I am, what I'm doing.
And I don't think he has any expectations. He's not even in town. Like, maybe if he were in town and we got to know each other a little bit better and spent some more time together, that I would attempt to date him. But he's not here. And I am discerning. And so most of them I don't want to see again. So like date 1, I'm like, okay, that was fun. And bye. Never see you again. I've had some funny fucking stories though. Oh my. Okay. I just have to tell a couple. Should I tell a couple?
Yeah, please do.
Oh my God. So, well, first of all, my first date here, I've seen him again and he asked me to go out last night, but I already have plans. And he's really nice and we get along and he took me to this really cool speakeasy. And then we kind of like bar hopped around this like place, like this street, I think they call Dirty Sixth. So in some like very Austin places. So that was fun. And then I went on a date with a guy who had said he was older than he was. So he had said he was like 36 or 37 and he was 21.
No.
Yes.
Was that apparent as soon as you laid eyes on him, you thought there's no way you're like mid-30s?
Right.
And then he's like, once people start talking, you can kind of figure out how,
He was very mature for his age. Oh, God. Like, what am I going to do with you? I mean, I don't have time to be anybody's teacher. And so, poor mom, there was that. Okay, so then a weird one. This guy had Googled me. And so, which is fine. I mean, you Google my name, I come up, right? I can't hide from the interwebs. But he knew a lot of randomness about me that like I had forgotten about myself. And it was basically like, he told me like, oh, I'm kind of nervous to be with you. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, but you're somebody. And he's like, you've interviewed all these celebrities and things. I'm like, yeah, true. And for a period of time in the UK, I had this like wine show where I was the presenter and he knew about that. I'm like, how did he find that? Like, the more he was drinking, the more he was kind of saying, like, I'm just out with you because of who you're going to be. Basically, you're going to be famous someday with your show and things like that. And I kind of want to say I've been with you. I was like, fuck. Like, that was the first.
What a weird thing to say as well. Uh-huh. Like, even if you thought that, to actually voice it just shows. Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, oh, maybe this is the first glimpse of like what a celebrity actually feels like. What are people's intentions? And is this something like, is everything in my life, you know, I kind of look at sometimes like, is this a lesson? Am I learning this now so I know how to respond to it in the future? Like, is that the lesson that's being put in front of me? And like, do I then need to be even more discerning? So if somebody's like, yeah, I know who you are and this, this, and this about you. What? Wouldn't you rather just get to know me rather than, like, it was almost like he was in disbelief that I was real, right? Wow. Which is kind of, yeah, very strange.
Also a little creepy to have, yeah. I mean, like, I kind of get it, quickly Google somebody's name, but you're only going to spend so long before you actually meet that person, and then you're going to meet them.
Right. And like, what I want to share with you might be what I want to share with you, not you doing a deep dive on me. So that was in, like, he was like, yeah, I know I'm never going to see you again. So like, let's, you know, fuck. And I was like, no, like, no, God, like, no. Okay. So there's that. And then, oh my God, one of these other funny ones, it was just this guy, and I felt, he had said he was a foodie and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, cool. So he chose a place for us to meet. It was the most awkward encounter I have. Like, I can talk to pretty much anyone about anything. It was so awkward. It was probably one of the worst dates I've ever been on in my life. And I kind of felt bad for him. And he then disclosed he has this neurological condition. And so there's some things about his movements and his speech that were off. And I felt bad. And like, good for him for putting himself out there. But he left, and the bartender came up to me and was like, that was terrible, wasn't it? I was like, yeah. He's like, can I buy you a shot or a drink? He's like, you need one. And I was like, yes. So I stayed and had a cocktail with the bartenders.
That's a good bar to use for future dates then.
Right? I mean, they were,
you know, get a drink.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he said, I kept looking over at the table, and he goes, it was like 90% him talking at you and 2% you. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that was awkward as fuck. But the good news is, with all these dates, I have been able to see parts of Austin I probably wouldn't see and do things I probably wouldn't do. Oh, and then another one I went on, it ended up to be open mic comedy night where we were.
Wow.
The comedians were terrible. And I was like, looking at him, like, is he laughing at some of these jokes? Because if he's laughing at this shit, this is not like racist, sexist, liberal bashing jokes, that kind of thing. And I was like, oh God, this is awkward. Like, could this be more awkward? But anyway, I was like, okay, it's time to get out of here.
That's a good test though. Like, if you're with somebody and they laugh at things that you think are totally inappropriate, you just know at some point you would have found that out about them anyhow. So it's a quick pass to that.
Right. But the way I am, it's like, I barely want to go on a second date with most of these people. So like, they've had a really good time and they want to see me again.
I mean, and again, you know, it's about being intentional, and you're so upfront about that. And it's a really admirable trait.
Like, every single one of them is like, can I see you again? I'm like, sometimes I just don't respond, which I guess is technically ghosting. Is that technically ghosting? Kind of. And sometimes I'm like, no. But yeah, anyway.
I think ghosting is also more they're expecting to see you. If you say yes, absolutely, and then you don't answer, I would say that's more ghosting.
Mm.
So you're not somebody to say yes when you need no.
No.
So, yeah.
There was one guy, kind of like, we went for coffee and, oh no, we had cocktails actually. And I brought Bernie. And then he was just like talking about our next date. And I think he could tell by looking at me like, oh, she's not interested. And then the guy that I went to the comedy with, I didn't really feel a vibe with him. Like, I didn't feel like a connection, but he clearly did. And then he made some kind of like, oh, he was talking about Bumble BFF and how for guys it's different. Like, for women, like, we're actually meeting friends. But apparently gay men are using it a lot to try to slide into people's DMs. And so he screenshotted what the kinds of guys he's getting on Bumble BFF. And one of the guys, so he sent me the picture, and it was like, the guy said, it was like large eggplant emoji. And then it was like really good oral skills. So I wrote back saying, I really am intrigued about his oral skills now. Like, so he said, I was like, I'm very intrigued. And I said, because when straight men say that, you just know they're going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Right? So is it the same in the gay world? Like, if you say your oral skills are good, are you actually good? Very intrigued by this. So then he wrote back something, and then he said, I'm happy to show you my skills. So I just let it go crickets. So like, then he's like sweating it. Like, oh my God, is she upset about this? Is she not upset about this? I just let it go for like 24 hours and didn't respond at all. And then he was like, oh, that was a little bit forward of me. I'm really sorry. And I said, I don't really care. Like, I don't get offended that easily. And I just wanted, like, I didn't tell him I was making him sweat. But I'm like, that's hilarious to me because it's like, and then he's like, you know, I'm just very attracted to you and I'd like to see you again. I haven't really responded to him either. So I think he probably recognizes I'm not going to see him. But these dates have been hilarious. And I kind of need to like slow it down because I need to focus on work. But I really think maybe I should just be writing blogs about these and like girl and dog seeking love, traveling around the world. And
Okay, so that's the dating section.
That's the dating. So, can we talk about something else here too?
I was going to say, yeah, is this on dating or are we just?
This is on dating.
Okay, yeah.
This might reveal too much, but how do men not know where the clitoris is? It's a fucking mystery to me. Like, how do you get to a certain point in your life, like you're a man in your 40s and you don't know where the clitoris is and what to do with it? Like, the 25-year-old Greek knew more about my body and my clitoris and everything else and how to turn me on than some of these 40-year-olds. It's like, how do you get to this point and you don't, or is it just European men? And American men are woefully undereducated when it comes to women's bodies.
I think also that's twinned with sometimes a lack of women voicing things as well.
I never had that problem with European men.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think there was one, the Italian. He was just selfish because he's Italian. I mean, he used to refer to himself in the third person anyway. So he'd be like, "Che, Nico would like." No, why can't you just say, "I would like."
Whoa. Oh, really?
It was so weird. Oh, I know. Che.
I don't know anybody Italian who does that. That's just a Nico thing, I think.
That's just a narcissistic, selfish thing. But yeah, he was like the only European one where I'm like, okay, are you? No, you're just in this for yourself. Okay. Got it. But yeah, again, I don't have time to be anybody's teacher. Like, yes, okay, if you have a new partner and you're trying to work each other out and figure out each other's proclivities and what you like, what you don't like, I ain't got no time to tell you.
Where it should be on your questionnaire.
We need to start screening people better.
Do you think racist jokes are funny? Do you know where the clitoris is?
Show me on a map.
Could you just fill out this quick questionnaire? Like, it could be on a napkin. It could just be five questions. Like, while you're having a cocktail, they fill it out on the napkin, and then you can decide whether or not you have a second drink.
Should I just say quiz number one? Draw a vagina. Show me the clitoris, the vulva. Show me where you stick your penis in. Okay. No. Should I just have that be my go on speed dating and show and have just a picture of a vagina?
Oh my gosh, seriously. Yeah.
But serious. I mean, have you seen some of those Instagram things where like they're interviewing? This was recent. Somebody, an interviewer, a person who has, I think, another podcast or something, she was interviewing men. She was stopping men on the street and can't remember where it was. I feel like it was Chicago or somewhere like that. And she was holding up, she had a picture of a vagina and she said, "I need you to point to me where the clitoris is here." Most of them got it wrong.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Most of them.
Yeah. Perhaps t-shirt. I don't know.
Speaking of t-shirts, one of my first dates, I was on the bartender. She was a bar where we were at, was wearing a shirt that said sluts on it. And with like this habit, this caricature of this woman. And I was like, what does it say underneath? It said Southern ladies under tremendous stress. So I was like, that is fucking genius. So I went on a quest the next day to find the shirt. So I got one for me and one for Nicole so that we can be twinsies. And she's
That's great.
Okay. So I digressed because I needed to talk about the clitoris.
Yeah, well, that's a good link. It's a good segue because if we're on biology, let's talk about, is there any healthcare updates? Let's talk biology then.
So with this whole having a uterus removed and cervix removed, I still have my ovaries, but you have to demand that they test your hormones to see where you are in like menopause or perimenopause or wherever you are. And so they had me for a while on testosterone because everything else looks normal. I know. Which also, I didn't like what it was doing. So it was like, this is like graphic and gross, but we need to talk about this shit. it was like making me grow hair in places where I normally haven't had hair.
Did you forget where your clitoris was?
Side effect. I forgot where my clitoris was. Yes. But it, like, I don't like it. And so.
It did affect your mood? I mean, what else? I have no idea.
Libido, for sure. I was like wanting to hump everything like I was a man. Like, oh, that pole looks good. I think I'll slide on up there. Oh. Yeah. And so I've taken myself off it. Also, it's fucking ridiculously expensive to get because, oh, we'll give it to men. But we won't give it to women where they're lacking in that hormone. And so it's hundreds of dollars every month to buy, which is just stupid. So anyway, I have decided that it does also weird things. Like I was talking to my hairdresser and like, I was seeing like little patches of like losing my hair in places. She's like, yeah, I have another client. She was on testosterone. That's a side effect. Don't do it. And I was like, fuck. So not only are you growing hair in places you don't want hair, and then you're losing hair as well. So that's not good. So now I'm off it, which it is what it is, whatever. But I am seeking out, viewed on my podcast before, that has these telehealth menopause clinics now. And I want to get a full workup to be like, okay, let's look at everything. Because the other thing is I've gained weight in places where like I don't normally gain weight. And that's all this perimenopause shit, right? Like, and I'm holding on to weight. Like, I mean, for people who don't know me, who can't see me, like, I'm not a huge human being. I'm like 5'6". Generally, most of my life, I've weighed like 127, maybe not in high school. Like, I weighed like 100 pounds when I was in high school, but like around like 125 to 127 pounds most of my life. I mean, I fluctuate sometimes. I gained like 5 pounds when I was in Europe, but now I'm like, I have weight where I'm like, okay, and cellulite where I never had it before. Like, this is some fucking bullshit. And I know cellulite has nothing to do with fat. It's your fascia. It's not fat. But I'm like, I don't like what this is doing. So I know people who are going through perimenopause or menopause, and like some people that I know are just like so hormonal and crying all the time and upset. And I'm not, I'm even keel. So I'm not missing certain things that other women have. And I don't want to just go on something because somebody's like, oh, take this or hormone replacement therapy or whatever. I want to do a full workup and just see where I am in all of it. And it sucks because they don't, you know, again, we're still not talking about it enough, especially when you have the surgery that you and I have both had, right? And it's like, oh, we need to be talking about these things and know what our bodies are doing. Also, it's like, does my diet need to change? Like, are there things that I need to be putting into my diet because I'm lacking in some? So I don't know, but
there's a fundamental lack of support. And it's not even like whether you're perimenopausal or menopausal, it's almost like all of female biology. It's like there's just a lack of support.
Yeah, total. I mean, and this goes back to, and then I guess the segue of the clitoris was pretty good, because you think about what we're doing in America right now and pulling sex education books out of schools in Texas, where I am, in Florida, in some of the southern states. It's like, how are we going to expect anyone to get anything they need when we can't even talk about the vagina, let alone anything else? So anyway, yeah, I mean, health-wise, I feel really good. I think also my mental health was taking a real hit in San Diego. You and I talked about the last time about the depression I went through after the miscarriages and things. And I was starting to feel like in San Diego, like, am I going through some low-grade depression again? Is this what's going on? I was reacting to things I normally don't react to. I was getting upset about certain things. I was having, I think, not some healthy thoughts about myself. And that's also something to look out for in perimenopause and menopause too, right? And the brain, oh, the other thing I'm noticing, I'm having some brain fog that I've never had before. Just random, like, what was I doing in this room? Why did I open up the refrigerator?
This is my third date of the day.
Yeah. What's your name again?
Are we already dated once?
Do I recognize you for some reason? Oh, that's right. I went out with you last week.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So it's funny because total side note back to date, but I tell Nicole when I'm going on a date, and she tracks my iPhone, right? So she can see where I am. So like, if all of a sudden my iPhone hasn't moved and I'm not where I'm staying, that's a little bit of a worry. But she was like, I can't keep these guys straight. Can we give them nicknames? I'm like, absolutely. So unless they have a strange name, everybody has a nickname, because that's the only way to keep them straight in her mind. And yeah. I guess in my mind too, back to brain fog and forgetting people's names, but I just can't reveal their nicknames to them if I see them. But anyway, health-wise, like mentally, I'm feeling very good. I'm feeling very energized and excited about this year and this move. And yeah, I mean, it's just like any woman who's going through some of these deep hormonal changes, like every day, it's like, oh, is that because of perimenopause? Is it something else? Is it because I was out till 2:30 last night? What is it? So, but yeah, I mean, you're right. We just need, like, why this menopausal care isn't fucking free for us when over 50% of the population is going to go through this globally, and why it's such taboo when aging should be revered and we should be honoring that. I don't fucking know, but it's so stupid.
Yeah. And what do you feel the future holds for you from where you are now? Like, what do you think's next? Like, you've left, like, everything that was in San Diego, and then there's this new energy, and there's this, like, it's a new year, and there's this, like, sense of energy and pace, and, like, you know, you and Austin all being restless together, and, you know, what's next?
Well, I'm going to stay here for a couple months. I like it. Until I get bored of it, or it gets bored of me, or I go through every single guy here, and then I can't go anywhere because there's like five people I've dated. I don't know. I'm going to stay here. I'm still planning on applying for my digital nomad visa. I need to get some more client work here in order to do that and to fund it and to feel like I'm financially secure enough to be there and to pick up and go. I have some interesting potential client work on the horizon that I'm excited about. I'm doing some work with a friend of mine who he works mainly with family-owned, family-run businesses, which I think, you know, I did some work with a couple family-owned, family-run businesses a few years back. And it's such a dynamic space and a complex space. Like, you've got to understand like the dynamics of human behavior and human nature in order to step into that beast. So I'm super excited about that. I am still planning my excursions abroad for child-free women. I had a conversation with one of the guys I met in Greece who runs a cocktail tour company in Athens.
And, no way.
Mm-hmm, and he and I stayed in touch. His name is Georgios. And he and I spoke right before Christmas, and I told him what I want to do. And he has agreed to be like my person on the ground in Greece. And we're kind of co-creating, co-planning. And I said, it's going to be like 10 to 12 women. Disposable income. I want to do some really cool things, like do some, like have dinner with a chef there where nobody else would have access to them. And so I'm planning that excursion. I wanted to do it in May, but it looks like I may not be there by then. So that kind of sucks, but I'm then going to plan to do it in like September in the off season where you're not going to have so many tourists in and around Athens and the Peloponnese and things like that. So that's, I'm excited about that. And I've already spoken to a few women who are like, count me in. And so when I get that plan, that's all going to be around food, wine, culture, and transformation. It's not going to be a retreat. Like, I'm not doing yoga and all that shit. Am I going to push people out of their comfort zones? Absolutely. Am I going to have it be bespoke and have really cool things that people are going to do? Yes. Also, it's going to be vetted. Like, I don't want anybody who's on this trip that is a pain in the ass. Can't be like, I didn't have the 300 count, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Like, you're here to enjoy yourself and no, like, negative Nancy's, like, none of that.
And we've all been on things where there's, like, that one person where you're like, why are you even here?
Yeah, and how did you make the cut? Like,
yeah, they were willing to take your money, but not vet you to make sure you were actually a good fit.
Right. So that's in the works. And then I still need, I'm talking to the producer of the pilot we shot, oh God, it's almost 2 years ago now.
Those are amazing, that pilot is.
I know. And so I really need somebody who understands YouTube and how we can get that going. I think we're probably going to film again here in Austin. I filmed here before in wine country. So I think we're going to have to recut some of that footage. And so I'm going to get back in front of the camera, which I love. And I'm just stoked for that. So I need to spend some time focusing on that, like this weekend probably. And the producer is back. He was in South Africa, so he's back in the country. I think he just got back. So he and I are supposed to connect next week and see, like, okay, what are we going to do? And how many short clips can we bring out? And how do we grow the YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff? Oh, and the guy who is Matthew McConaughey's social media person, I sent it to him. And so he had some suggestions for me. But yeah, so I'm stoked
I think, that. And again, I think you know, energetically start writing, a great place to ask people to do things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know. And I have no qualms about that. No qualms about, like, can you do this for me? And then one of the local bartenders that I met here, he is trying to get into, like, managing people's, like, videos and TikToks and things like that. And I was like, okay, well, here's this. And I need to go pop by and be like, hey, Jonah, did you watch it? Like, what do you think? But somehow, some way, it's like I keep getting nods of what I'm supposed to be doing. And so, like, just meeting, like, being in the right spaces somehow, I'm, like, all of a sudden interconnecting with all these people. So that I just feel more aligned this year than maybe ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then what about the podcast then?
So I think I mentioned this last time, but I need my voice to be stronger on this. And I need to really be the champion for certain populations and to live, like, out loud and life fully. And that's people, women like me, who are, like, childless, child-free for whatever reason. People who look to me as, like, an inspiration for just packing all my shit up and going. And, like,
a minibus of Le Creuset.
Shit, yeah. Like, what do you have in there? Just my Le Creuset pots and pans. People who want to feel like they're empowered to make decisions for their own life and to rule their own lives in the way that is authentically them. And so I think what we're going to do the month of February, this is probably going to be the last podcast for a while, is revamp it. I don't think we're going to change the name, but revamp the branding, revamp things. And hopefully, listener, if you're listening and it sounds like you, stay tuned, stay with us, stick with us. If it's not you, well, thank you for being on this journey and learning about all the things we've learned about, especially this past year, like everything, menopause, we had the, I do want the sex therapist to come back on because she was awesome. And I think we need to get to the bottom of why men don't know where the clitoris is when we talked about it a little bit before, but I want her to come back on. I want to talk about trends. Like, this is something that I talked to her a little bit about on the podcast, but this whole dating thing of, like, ethical non-monogamy, polyamory, all of the acronyms that are happening right now in the dating world, I can't keep up, but there's a lot of them. These guys are like, yeah, I'm in an ethical non-monogamous relationship. So I have my spouse, my partner, my whatever, and they know that I go out and have sex with other people. It's wild what's going on out here. I mean, maybe this existed before, but it's the first time, like, I feel like in any type of history where we're actually labeling these things and talking about them, yeah. And there's an acceptance about them. Oh, and one of the girl dates I went on, she was part of the tantric community here. And so she and her former best friend having sex with the same man, it sounded like it got pretty messy. And so that there's apparently a huge tantric community here in Austin and a huge poly community here in Austin. But I have encountered, like, the whole ethical non-monogamy thing. So I think I digressed. Back to the podcast. Yeah, we're going to pause it for a while because I really, really desire to dig into certain things in society and dismantle certain things. I'm not going to be able to tackle this healthcare system. I mean, it's a beast and it's bullshit and it's not changing anytime soon. But I do want to start breaking down the stigma of certain things, like being childless and child-free and a woman, making decisions that are right for you regardless of what society says. I look to, like, someone like a Chelsea Handler where I'm like, she's like my icon. And she just tells people to, like, fuck off and about her child-free status and her choice not to have children, her choice to be single. It was funny because she was talking about her dating life on her podcast recently. And she's just like, what is with these men? How do they? She was also kind of saying, like, how do they not know how to have sex at this point? Like, yeah. So but I would like in my dream, I would love to have her on the podcast. Like, I feel like she and I would be good friends and we would have some riff. So I'm just going to give it a pause for a little while and rethink it and be able to come back out with a louder voice and really targeted towards my audience.
Yeah.
You single, child-free ladies out there, maybe not even single. You don't have to be single, but I think Hazel, you're probably still my audience, even though you have a child, but right. Like, but you know, just like child-free women living like their best lives and unapologetically living their best lives. Like, I don't think in the past couple of years, I have felt, you know, more me and more like I am having so much fucking fun. Like, I am just living my best my best life right now, like really, truly. I think it can only get better. I think it's just going to continue to get better in Austin, in Europe, as I bring these things into the world. Like, it's just so fun right now. Like, when's the last time, I shouldn't ask you this question, but when's the last time anybody, like you, listener, or you, Hazel, can say, I am just having such joy and fun every single day?
Actually, in the last 4 days, I was in London by myself.
Yeah, right? I'm just doing whatever you want to do.
Just doing, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, I think it's going to be exciting to see what 2024 holds for you, because I think this is such a great springboard. Like, you were beginning of the year, you're in a new place. You literally packed up your Le Creuset and stuff.
In a minivan.
And drove for 23 hours. And like, yeah, you're in such an exciting and new place. I think, but somehow you've reconnected with this old version of yourself, which mm-hmm. is that unapologetic. You're going to go and talk to her in a bar, how we met. Because you are like that person that people gravitate to. So it's exciting that you're in a new place. So even though there's a pause, it'll be exciting back, whether it's in like a month, 2 months, 3 months, and share like what's coming up next in like Amanda's life.
Yeah. And I do think, I mean, I kind of jokingly say like, oh, I should be writing a book about these dates and girl with dog seeking lover and true love. I mean, lover would be a good start. Like, I mean, somebody who actually knows what they're doing and then I connect with, I would take that right now. So I haven't had like the deep sexual connection with anybody since Giannis.
Wow.
That was August. Like, come on, people. And it's not for want or lack of trying. It's just like anytime I kind of approach it and I'm close enough to be like, okay, maybe I could have sex with you. It's like a red flag or something comes up. I'm like, nope, not feeling it. Like, I am not feeling this in the slightest. So that sucks.
Am I allowed to ask about the Greek connection?
Yes.
So what's any,
yeah,
any
so
contact? Any?
We stopped talking for about a month. So about the entire month of December, basically. Like, it was just like, this is too much. Like, what the fuck do you want from me? This is too much. He's 25 years old. He's out there having sex with people his own age, I'm assuming, and out there being with people. And it's just like, and he said some things which were just kind of hurtful. And I was like, I've had enough here. Like, I don't need this from you right now. I have too much going on in my life. So we stopped talking. And then on New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve, our time, I noticed there was a message from him in my Instagram, because I had him not blocked, but I've deleted him off my Instagram so he can't see my life every day, because it was getting to the point where she's like, you're just voyeuristically watching my life, but that just makes me think about you. And that's not helpful for me trying to open up my heart, open up myself to somebody else.
Yeah.
So anyway, on New Year's Eve, he sent me a message, which was something, it was in Greek, like the first part was like, Happy New Year, my Amanda. And then it was like something around, like, it, this isn't verbatim, but actually, I can actually read it verbatim. Hold, please. Hold, please, listener. Because I pulled it, because I had to, like, sometimes when he writes in Greek, I have to, like, pull the message and then put it in a note and then get it translated, because I don't know what the fuck it's saying. But it was like, Happy New Year, Amanda, my Amanda, with a heart. And then he just said, you were one of the greatest things that happened to me. You are such a wonderful person. You are a wonderful person. Oh my gosh, I can't speak. I can't speak here. You are a wonderful person. So bright and full of ideas and curiosity about life. It doesn't get any better than that. Truly, you are my role model. Keep staying active and making everyone around you better. Have a great trip in Austin. So that's how I knew he had listened to the podcast. And then he said, I love you so much, with a heart. In Greek. He said that in Greek, which I had to translate. Right. But so that was New Year's Eve. And then of course, it was like, well, how can I not respond to this? So I just responded back with like a little heart emoji. And then I left him a voice memo because I was getting ready to hit the road. It was the first. So I was getting ready to hit the road. And I said, I'm getting ready to hit the road. And then the entire trip, he was asking me how the trip was going and then was leaving me voice memos. And I was talking to him like while I was driving and like sending him pictures of Americana. You know, he's been twice out of Greece, but he has like this fascination with America. And so sending him like, this is true America. And then on the Friday after I got here, I think it was Friday. Maybe it was that Thursday night, actually, when I first got here, he called me, which is weird because he's never once called me, like not even when I was traveling around Europe, not even when we were still like deeply in the throes of some very, very energetically connected thing. So we had a conversation. He was with his friends. Maybe that we were just talking back and forth. But anyway, he called me at one point last weekend. And so we had a conversation and he basically was like, I'm glad we're able to connect again now that we're both in the same place and on the same page about what this is. And so I had asked him, like, why do you want to stay in touch with me? And he's like, you're very important to me. Like, you are one of the most important people in my life in my short years. And he said again, when we were talking, like, eventually when I meet my wife and I have children, I want you to meet them and I want her to meet you. And I was like, she's going to hate me. He's like, no, she won't. She's going to be cool and she's going to appreciate you. I was like, yeah, if I buy you a house or something. So anyway, I think
it's a nice ideology to have.
Yeah. I think for him, he looks at me as like a source of, I think, inspiration and truth and support for what he's trying to do. And I've challenged him a bit. I think he's called me now 3 times. So I've spoken to him 3 times since I've been in Austin. And he just kind of wants to catch up and know what I'm doing and how I'm doing and what my thoughts are. And he knows I'm like going on dates because he listens to every podcast.
Yeah.
So he knows what's kind of happening in my life. So I don't know. I think I told him that when I'm back in Greece, that I would buy him dinner. He has to show up, but all he has to do is show up and I'll buy him dinner. But you know, it's interesting. We haven't dug into some of the things that he and I talk about, but his family knows about me. Like he told his parents about me, which is interesting. Cause like his parents aren't that much older than I am. I mean, like truth be told, he's 25, so they're not, do the math. But and his friends know about me. So like he's called me a couple times where he's been with his friends or getting in the car with his friends. Cause you know how they are. Like he has dinner at 10 and then his friends pick him up at like 11 or midnight or whatever. And then I don't know, they go to a friend's house or they go out in his town or whatever, cause he's back home. But it's just, they're up to like 6 in the morning. So he's talking to me. It's like 6 his time and I'm like getting ready for bed or whatever. No, it's not. But it's just like, that's their life.
But I like the fact that you are kind of part of his life, though. It's not, not that he told his parents, he told his family and friends, and it's you are just part of it. And I like the fact he's got this factual approach to it. You are part of his life.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like.
It's interesting because I think, obviously, when he's speaking in English, I guess when he's at the house, he was walking his dogs the other day, and then he came back into his house, and I could hear his dad talking. His dad was on the phone. He's like, oh, that's my dad. I think he's talking to my brother. And then he switched, and he said something in Greek to his father, and then he switched back to me and was speaking to me obviously in English because I don't speak Greek. And I was like, they must know who he's on the phone with, or maybe he responds and tells them, because I don't know if his parents speak English. His brother does. His brother speaks it fluently, but his parents, I don't think they do. So it's interesting. Like obviously when they're hearing him speak in English, they know he's probably on the talking to me in some way, shape, or form. And I mean his friends all speak English. Not as well as him to a certain degree, but at least the ones I've heard, but they all can understand him and understand me. I was telling him a story via voice memo the other day. And so he was playing it for his friends and he was like, you have an audience here captivated by your story. I'm like, okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Greek men in the town of Argos.
It'll be exciting when you go back to Greece.
Oh my God, it's going to be so weird, right? Because who knows how it's going to look? Like, it could be, who knows, like Mr. Austin could come back and I could fall madly in love with him. And Mr. Austin has been talking about going to Europe on a digital nomad visa. So that, isn't that interesting?
Wow.
And he and I are kind of running in parallel paths because he's writing a book right now and like doing some like consulting things, and he'd sold his family business back to his brother. So interesting. But, you know, who knows? By the time I see Giannis, I could be in a full-blown love affair and my lover's with me. I don't know. Nobody knows.
That's what's exciting about it, though. Like, nobody knows. Like, nobody knows. So, but, you know, it's going to be a great year. I think I'm so happy that you've relocated. Like, you are. I mean, seriously, you're just energetically radiant. Like,
oh, thank you.
So, just great.
But, yeah, I will keep everybody posted on the girl dates, the boy dates, taking Austin by storm. people are starting to know Bernie now in the neighborhood.
If people are interested in things like the upcoming trips and stuff, like where will they find links and things?
Well, hopefully we'll have some information by the time this comes out, and it'll be in the show notes. So always look at our show notes for any resources. And then I'm switching up my websites right now, so we'll definitely be there. There'll be a landing page for it. And I'm super stoked for it. I'm really, really stoked for it. So, but yeah, I think back to earlier part of our conversation, I think you're right. I think any prerequisites before I go on any more dates is just to ask men, do you know where the clitoris is?
That could be, yeah, I think so.
I should start compiling those responses and talk about them with the sex therapist on here.
Yeah. you should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, well, this was fun. We need to call this something. It's like Hazel's Corner or something.
Hazel's Corner. Deep dive into the nuances of what's happening in Amanda's world.
Oh, it's fun. I guess maybe for people it's funny to be a fly on the wall of this.
But there's just, I mean, seriously, there's have been through, I mean, so much. And then to have emerged from it and to just pack up, move, like, and just go somewhere new. And recognizing that you needed that change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because this podcast is going on long today, but there's so many people in the world that know that they need to get out of a situation, but won't take the necessary steps. Yeah. They won't make the decision, and then they're living their lives in either indecision or in misery.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's too fucking short.
Yeah. But no decision is the decision.
Yeah. No decision is the decision always, right?
Yeah.
The decision is always the first step.
Yeah.
And so it's just amazing what happens when you say yes to the right decision for you. I mean, we're like, you're talking about, but I've been in Austin 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. They just, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what's going like a month or two into Austin then.
Oh my God. We should come back in a month.
There has to be another update.
We should do this again on the 19th of February.
Oh, yes. After Valentine's Day.
Oh my God.
Hazel's Corner with Amanda, Valentine's edition.
Who did you go on a date with on Valentine's Day? Was it a Galentine?
You fit into one Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I mean,
like at least four. Well, I look forward to that then. Seriously.
Oh my God. And then even tonight I'm going, I mean, did I say I'm going on a sushi and concert? Yeah, actually fairly soon. Because the sushi place we had to go, it was either have dinner at this other place at like 10:30 at night, which I was like, I'm all about a Greek dinner time. That's fine. Or have early, which is this other place, which is this guy's third favorite sushi place. This is Soho House guy. So doesn't drink. So what am I going to do with myself at a concert? And dinner. Like I can't have dinner without a drink.
That's great. Enjoy. Let's do another update. End of February.
End of February. Okay. Well, I'm going to close it out. Hazel, thanks again for listening to the and interviewing me and talking to me about the ridiculousness that is my life.
Always a thrill. Always.
And as we say here at Period to Pause, continue to go out there to rise, educate, mobilize. I'm Bookless, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to a Period to Pause podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, you can go ahead and skip that step. And remember to follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And go check us out on Instagram and Clubhouse. Oh, and don't forget to tell another woman in your life that you support her, and it only takes one tiny action to lead to big change. See you next time. Now for a quick disclaimer. All of the information and views you hear on a Period to Pause podcast are purely the opinions of the host and her guest. They are not medical advice or treatment recommendations. The content of this podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or qualified healthcare professional for any recommendations specific to you or for any questions you may have specific to your health, mental health, your sleep patterns, or changes to diet and exercise or any medical conditions.